And you'll find out now in our discussion with Dr. John Hall that if this technology gets into the hands of the wrong people, then we really have a mess. So we'll talk with him more about that when we come back on Coast to Coast AM. John, has anybody admitted to this, to your knowledge, public officials, anybody?
No. You mean as far as admitted to being on the perpetrator side of it?
Yes.
No, not at all.
How do we get answers from these people?
Well, that's why part of the goal of this organization is to try to amass as much evidence as we can to try to push for a congressional hearing. At least that way force the CIA and the NSA to release whatever documentation they have that this does exist. Now, some of that, and I know they know because I've talked to plenty of victims that are very educated people that have sent very good letters to their senators and to their congressmen. So they know. I mean, they've been made aware, you know, by multiple victims. But they don't seem to be actually doing anything about it. And some of that is if they don't know much about it, they may not want to step out on a limb and commit political suicide by trying to endorse something that sounds like craziness. But the other side of that might be that the government may not want to admit to this technology for, you know, the social reasons. And you think about this, what's in our head and in our mind is really your last bastion of privacy. And for the government to come out and admit that we now can decode your EEG and hear your thoughts, the social ramifications of that, I mean, the religious changes, people realizing that when they're in church and they're sitting in prayer that, you know, it's maybe not God that's hearing, but it's the government that's hearing, that they can see you indoors, your most private acts, and even, albeit X-ray, but still see you nonetheless. I mean, there would be social upheaval if they were to admit having this technology.
Had you not had this personal experience with the girl, would you believe this?
I'll be honest with you. If I hadn't already known a little bit about the technology just from having friends that are in the intelligence business, and I would have been the first to tell you. If somebody would have came to me saying, you know what, I'm getting burned all over, and I'm hearing people, you know, talk to me in my head and watch me. I probably would have been one of those doctors that would have referred them to a psychiatrist.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, how has this affected you in your pain management practice?
Well, actually, when I was stepping out on a limb trying to help my girlfriend at the time, did get me in a little trouble with the board because obviously it sounds crazy to them too. So I wound up in front of the board, and you know, luckily had police reports. It had plate numbers identifying the stalkers.
My God.
And had enough evidence and normal psychological testing that I got kind of a slap on the wrist, and I'm sure they would rather me not be writing about it or talking about it. But if our healthcare professionals, you know, can't be at the forefront of this, then who can? I mean, it really should be our job, and it should be the job of the psychiatric community. And I think that's, you know, really kind of where they're letting us down, when history has already shown us that, you know, the psychiatric community has been at the forefront of some of the worst human rights abuses, you know, that this country's ever seen.
And I'm sure you probably told them, hey, not every case is this stalking and harassment and mind control type operation. Some people truly are mentally ill.
And that's why we're really, really trying to get together a group of people to set some criteria for that. And as I was listening to your show, was it night before last? You had Fred Bell.
Yes,
he's done a lot of research on this. And what we're kind of thinking about doing is having a summit of some of us that are PhDs and MDs, and you know, people that have been doing research into this. Try to get, you know, maybe Bell and Tulsis and myself and Robertson and Robert Duncan out of Idaho and Nick Begich, and try to get us all in one room to establish some criteria of how you determine who's a victim and who's mentally ill. And what avenues we should be pursuing to try to get some government attention to getting disclosure. Because right now we're all doing different research, we're all writing, we're all publishing, but we're not coming together for a common good. And that's one of the things I'd like to try to do is get a summit of those of us that are doing these, making these publications and doing some of this research and voicing these complaints to try to group our effort together.
What the signs do you see of similarities between victims?
The first thing that you'll hear when you talk to a victim is they'll always tell you, well, my case is a little different. My case is a little different because of this. And that is true. The circumstances are often different. However, the modus operandi of attack, what they're experiencing and what they're hearing is exactly the same just about in every case. And what that tells me is that it's being done by a template. When you have a housewife in San Francisco, California, who's, you know, hearing audible, I even hesitate to call it hearing voices because that implies mental illness, but having audio harassment, we'll say, and having what they call street theater or people making sure to let you know that you're being stalked. I mean, they're not watching from 100 yards away with binoculars. They're standing by your door, standing by the door of a restaurant, sitting on the hood of your car when you come out, and you're being attacked with directed energy. That's going on the exact same things with almost every victim in every state. And to me, that says that whoever has passed on access to this technology has got a handbook with it. I mean, there's no experimentation factor. There's no ad-libbing. The perpetrators aren't trying this and trying that and seeing what works. They're doing the same things to every victim in every state.
John, are these victims being totally picked out at random, or is there something that they've done that government is aware of and they want to follow them, track them, whatever?
George, we have done surveys to try to narrow down something that stands out between one of the reasons we do these surveys, and the surveys we do through Freedom from Covert Surveillance are very detailed, and we're working on an extremely detailed one right now. Terry Robertson, I think, has a 350-question survey that's about to come out along with our testing to find anything that's a common thread between these victims, and there's not. I mean, it ranges from the affluent to the very low socioeconomic level.
How about age?
Age range tends to be from 35 and up. And like I said, 70% are female. And of those 70% that are female, virtually 100% are expressing lost time, possible drugging, possible sexual assault. Some of them real overt sexual assault. They're having vaginal infections, vaginal tears, cervical lacerations, you know, very obvious sexual assault, and losing time, which is what Rohypnol and GHB, the two date rape drugs, will do.
This sounds like a club, you know, like just some kind of a sick club, doesn't it?
That's almost what it seems like. And like I said, but with the preponderance of victims being females living alone, what they've found is that this makes an excellent sexual assault weapon. I mean, if you imagine you can break into someone's home, put Rohypnol in their bottled water, then control them to drink the water where the Rohypnol is. Then all you're doing is having the people who want to commit the assault wait around outside that person's home until the drug takes effect, which is exactly what they were doing to the girl down here that was a victim.
Yeah, I mean, if they're using this for this kind of a purpose, it's got to be much more than some kind of surveillance. Somebody somehow has tapped into this technology, and they're using it for their own sick purposes.
Well, and I kind of push that. The book was written with the idea that possibly this is people hacking into it. Now, if you look into it a little further, it looks a lot more like it's probably experimentation. And the reason the book was written with that wording was I thought, you know, we're going to need the government's help eventually down the line to have some type of a congressional hearing or public hearing to get disclosure on the technology. So I really didn't want to come out in this book and just outright accuse it of it being government.
No, and you probably can at this point.
Yeah, and a lot of the victims they're convinced it's the FBI. You know, I hear that every day. People say, I know it's the FBI. And most of the time, these are people that there would be absolutely no reason that the FBI would be interested in them. So, you know, that also tells you that it's common criminals or possibly former FBI people that are working as PIs like we identified here, but not any true surveillance that's for a legal reason.
Yeah, I was watching a movie a couple of years ago, John, and all these wealthy guys who were, again, a movie, not a documentary. And, I mean, they were just worth megabucks, bored out of their minds. in, they went to some place in the Middle East or somewhere, and, you know, they spent the night there, and they were like all bidding on these people and doing these whacked out sick things. And I came away from that movie saying, this is the, you know, a group of people who have so much wealth, they don't know what to do with it. So they engage themselves in this debauchery and these other things. And I'm wondering if this is something similar, where somehow, you know, maybe they've not stolen the technology. Maybe they've paid somebody off to use it. Who knows? Is that possible?
Well, that's the other thing we've looked at. I know there was back in 06, and I have searched and I haven't been able to find the news article, but I remember in Chicago there were two CIA agents that were arrested for trying to exchange access to a biosensing satellite system, which is, you know, essentially what this is, for large quantities of drugs. It made a very small headline. I was listening to the radio, probably listening to your show, late one night when the news came on, and this was just a blurb, and I never heard anything about it again. And I have searched for that, because that would be, you know, some really good evidence to have, and I haven't been able to find it, because it was probably 06 or 07 when I heard that.
Are you concerned that they're going to turn the old equipment onto you?
Well, they haven't done that, but I tell you what, after I exposed their identities and went to the San Antonio Police Department, who was about as helpful as they could be. Luckily, we have a very good police department here. They at least took me seriously. A lot of them are my patients. Turned in the recording I had of them breaking in and turned in the plate numbers. The problem was not enough recall on her part. And the other thing that you get told when it's a PI group is the police will tell you, well, they're PIs. That's what they do. They stalk people. You know, so it basically came down to, it's not what you know, it's what you can prove. And we didn't have enough to prove anything in court, so I wrote a book. But what did happen to me was I had the bolts taken out of the hood latch to my truck. My hood flew up on me going down the highway. I had bleach poured into my water softener at home, had multiple break-ins, vandalizing my home, vandalizing my vehicles.
Jeez.
And had shots fired through my bedroom window.
They wanted to take you out or scare you, John?
Scare me out of town, probably, or out of state. You know, but this is a national and global thing. And once you see the numbers of people that are voicing these complaints, you know, you really can't dismiss it. I mean, you're compelled to try to do something about it. And I know I hear from people every day on my website at satweapons.com, people asking for help and ways to shield from it. And that's why we need disclosure from the government, because there are very few things you can do to escape this. Especially the ELF wave technology, the technology that puts voices around you. Extremely low frequency waves aren't blocked by anything. You can be in a lead shielded room or an anechoic chamber. They still get through. That's why they use them for submarine communication. Nothing shields ELF waves.
And if it's done at random, no wonder so many people just don't know if they're going nuts or if something like this is happening to them.
Yeah, and the other bad thing about it too is they oftentimes will target one person, but just control their support system, their family members. So they work on learning how to control the family members before they target the person that they're planning on really victimizing. That way, when the victim turns to their social support system, you know, usually their immediate family, and say, you know, I've never had been crazy before. I've never voiced these complaints before, but now all of a sudden, there's people breaking into my house. I'm hearing voices, and I'm being attacked with something I can't see. And they turn to the people that ought to be the people at least listening and trying to believe. Those are the people that end up having them committed. Usually their family members.
That's true. Tell me a little bit about the census and how this plays a role in some of your work.
Well, if you look at this from a one world government point of view, or the government wanting to control us, if this is indeed mostly satellite based, which I believe it is, for the first time in history, 2010, they're using GPS to do the census. One of the things they're doing is, and you can get on the 2010 census.gov to see this, they're, for the first time in history, they're going to go house to house and actually GPS, their goal is to GPS every structure that houses humans in the country. Along with a questionnaire, you know, some people get a short form, some people get a long form questionnaire. They're also going to be putting out the questionnaires through the schools. That'll be one of the first times they've actually used children, and on their website they even say that the children will be a powerful force in ensuring a correct census. Wanting to know if you have weapons, what guns you have, how many bathrooms you have, along with a GPS coordinate on your home. If this is satellite-based, well, now they know everything there is to know about you. They also have GPS coordinates for quick and easy access if they decide that maybe you're out of line or maybe you're using too much energy, maybe you're using too much water. In Texas right now, that's a very big thing, the water. Obama appointed a water czar. They want to put water under federal control.
I'm sure soon they'll have a food czar to tell us how much we're eating and everything.
And George, you control the water and you control the medicine. You control the world.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. There's no doubt about that.
And in Texas, a lot of us here, we live out in the country. We're on wells. And a lot of these water rights have been in people's families for 100, 150 years. And when you're talking about the government coming in and controlling your ability to access water, I mean, that's going to be a problem in Texas. That's going to be a problem. They're going to have a problem enforcing that in Texas.
I got an email during the break from someone who said, I've been vindicated. Finally, there's somebody who understands what has been going on with me. I've been trying to tell people. I'm hearing these voices. Strange things are happening to me. He said he's a professional person, and he said no one will listen to him. And he's listening to the show right now, John, and for the first time, he said, in years, he feels like he can understand what's happening.
And that's kind of what our goal is. And, and the sad part, some of the advice I give people that, if you're, pretty sure that this is victimization and there's no mental illness history in your family, and you find yourself in front of a psychiatrist, you really got to do some soul searching. Do you want to tell them the truth? Because when you do, you're going to be diagnosed. And once you're diagnosed, they can break into your home all you want. You can call the police. They're not going to come.
What do we do so we're not paranoid about this? There's a fine line here between this is happening, this is not. And, what do we do so we don't create paranoid people all over the place?
Well, it's still happening to percentage-wise, it's still a small number of people, which is one of the reasons the government hasn't listened. Several thousand people sounds like a lot, but as a percentage of the total population, it's not. Now, numbers are growing. There's new people popping up every day. I mean, you do a lot of shows on haunting. A lot of people think they're experiencing hauntings might actually be getting harassed, because one of the things they like to do with this technology as well is electrical disturbance. Garage doors open and close on their own. Lights turn off and on their own.
Keys disappear on their own, right?
Yeah. I had used to listen to your show every night on a shortwave radio that also picks up AM. I have to use it with a plugged-in plug. If I use it on battery power, they turn it off and on. Now, I don't know if you saw in the news a couple of weeks ago, there was several neighborhoods in San Antonio, Texas, who were having severe electrical disturbances. Some people's wirings were burning out, garage doors opening and closing, cell phones not working. And the NSA came forward. There's three NSA bases in San Antonio now. One of the bases came forward and said that and this had been going on for a while before they finally admitted it, that they were using some new ground-based radio frequency communication system.
And it cooked their wires, huh?
Cooked their wires and was messing with anything that was remote control related. They're trying to convince these people to put a particular type of filter on their home wiring. They're going to shut down their system on March 1st, they said, to allow people to retrofit this filter.
That's amazing. Stay with us. Dr. John Hall's website, satweapons.com. I'm George Norrie, back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. We're going to take your phone calls next hour with Dr. John Hall. Perhaps you want to relay some of your own personal stories as well. Maybe you are under bombardment. Hey, tomorrow for StreamLink members, we'll have our chat at 8 p.m. Pacific time, 11 p.m. Eastern time. So just get on board and get in. That room fills up awfully fast. Seats are limited. So get on board and we'll do our chat for 1 hour starting at 8 p.m. Pacific time on Tuesday night. And welcome back to Coast with Dr. John Hall. We'll take your calls next hour. Lots of people calling already with their own stories. So let's review a little bit, John, if we can, on what you think is happening and what people can do to fight it.
Basically, I think it's satellite-based, probably experimentation. The sheer fact that most victims are complaining of this for a decade or more all points to experimentation. I mean, looking at this from a medical point of view, to do something like this, you can ruin somebody's life in a year or less. When you do this to somebody for 10 years, at least from a medical point of view, that's either a cancer study or a behavioral study. Behavioral meaning 10 years of victimizing them to see how long it takes to crack somebody and destroy someone completely. Or if this is going to be used as a New World Order weapon, you're going to want to know how long you can expose someone to this before they start turning up with weird cancers. And that's the other thing that we're really looking at seriously. Is this just a grandiose cancer study?
That's interesting.
Because if this is going to be used in that type of a scenario, you don't want to expose the entire population to something and then they all turn up with one weird type of cancer in 2 years. You want to make sure that it's not going to cause some funky cancer, you know, over a decade of use.
Tell me a little bit about the kind of technology that they're using in terms of the proof that the NSA or the CIA or the Department of Defense or the FBI, anybody might be using this. Where's the proof on this?
Well, the only proof really is in the what we talked about earlier, the addendum to the effect bio effects of non-lethal weapons. That clearly states that, and that was in 96, that they could put voices in the head. Now you fast forward to current time at the University of Irvine, the Army is currently working on synthetic telepathy between warfighters. So in 96, you have basically a side-handed admission of being able to target one individual, you know, put voices in the head and probably receive voices from their head at that time. Well, now they're trying to figure out how to make it such that warfighters in the field, soldiers, can communicate thought to thought with each other. Now that means one person's thought being decoded, transmitted to the other person, and vice versa. So now they're talking about actually making it interactive between people. If you look back even further into the 70s, Pineo done research in 72 with EEG. He showed people cards, showed a monkey, a car, a truck, a bicycle, and he recorded EEG tracings and started to create an EEG dictionary. Your EEG would show different tracings for different words. Not long after that, a Dr. Malik actually developed a way to remotely sense the EEG. We're seeing that now in the Winter Olympics. I don't know if you've seen, there's a company, Interaxon, that has people that are going to put sensors on people's head. They're going to have them sitting in relaxed chairs and show them different scenes of the Olympics. Their brain waves are going to be circuited via the Internet 3,000 miles away, where it will be their emotional response to what they're seeing, creating a light show for other people to see. The light show will be based on their thoughts and their brainwaves and transmitted over the Internet.
One would say, would governments do this? Would our government do this? We know that they've tested soldiers before in the past. They've tested people. They did a test in the 50s in St. Louis where they sprayed things and didn't get permission.
If you look back at our government's history, everybody says, oh, our government wouldn't experiment on us. The history doesn't bear that out. The historical facts are that the radiation experiments, Tuskegee syphilis study, the MIT actually experimented on putting radioactive substances in the food of retarded kids at several schools for retarded kids. I mean, there's just numerous accounts of CDC, AMA, NIH-sponsored medical studies, cancer studies, and radiation studies, not to mention MKUltra, which I know you've done plenty of shows on that.
Sure.
You know, there were several different sub-projects of that. All of them were horrendous, and all of them were done in major universities. The research was put out in a lot of major journals. The studies didn't come out and say studying how to control somebody. They were usually had, you know, titles to the studies that were more benign, you know, so you wouldn't figure that out. But all of those studies were done by major universities, and a lot of the psychiatrists and the researchers that headed up some of the most horrendous human rights abuses went on to be appointed, you know, chairs of major organizations and died and had eulogies as glowing pioneers in their field. So, I mean, if the history of covert experimentation on our public is there, So there's nothing to lead me or anyone else to believe that they wouldn't still be continuing. And with MK Ultra, which a lot of people think this is a continuation of MK Ultra, because the whole goal of MK Ultra was mind control. The only thing that really stopped with MK Ultra was the release of information through Freedom of Information. It would be silly to think that the operations or the research stopped after spending so much money on it.
What do you think the timetable has been for these victims to be bombarded, John? Months, weeks, years, how long?
Years. Most of the people that I've talked to have been victimized for years. And that's one of the reasons we're wanting to educate people, because the first 2 or 3 years, you're thinking you're being haunted. You're thinking, maybe you're thinking you really have gone crazy. I've talked to people who said, I was hearing voices. I just went ahead and took myself to the psychiatrist because I was sure I was going crazy. Well, if you're hearing voices, you know you're hearing voices, and you're afraid you're crazy because you're hearing voices, and you're probably not. You know, the true people, true schizophrenics that are hearing voices, they don't think they're crazy, and they don't think there's anything crazy about hearing the voices usually. So that is probably a good discriminator in itself. And I have talked to several people who really thought that. They said, well, I'm hearing voices. This is it. You know, I'm done. I'm crazy. But it's gone on for decades for most victims. But if we can educate people to recognize it when it starts happening, well, then that takes a lot of the oomph out of the perpetrators. Because if you know, let's say you went home tonight and you started to hear people talk about your whereabouts in your room, or talk about what you did today. If you went, yeah, this is what he was talking about. This is that satellite technology. I'm just going to ignore it. You'd be better off, because most people, the first couple of years, they're looking feverishly to find out what it is. They're talking to their loved ones, talking to their friends, or telling people, man, I'm hearing this. What do you think it is? And that's what gets them in front of the wrong people that are possibly going to give them the wrong diagnosis.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, about 2 years ago, we started talking about Morgellons disease on this program, a disease that hardly anybody knew about, John. And we've been pounding away at it, and the CDC has finally decided to do a new study about it. Do you see a connection between that very strange affliction and what you've been working on?
I came across this recently. I was talking to a Dr. Ed Spencer out of California. He's a neurologist and has been an activist against Morgellons disease, and especially of the CDC's definition of Morgellons disease. You know, the CDC has really kind of waffled on what it is. You know, one minute it's, you know, a parasitic delusion. The next minute it's an autoimmune disease. But a lot of these people are pulling fibers out of themselves that are not human. A lot of the things that are being removed out of Morgellons patients are inorganic, silicone and carbon fiber type stuff, or completely unidentifiable, but not human tissue. What I found striking with Morgellons is if you look on the Morgellons Research Foundation, the areas that are being the heaviest reporting, or at least the heaviest number of registered families exhibiting Morgellons disease, and it seems to be running in some families, the states where it's the most common are California, Texas, Florida.
Isn't that bizarre? And explain what you think Morgellons could be and some of the symptoms here. They get this creepy...
Putting Morgellons in context with everything else we're looking at, and I've gotten a hold of the foundation. I haven't heard back from them yet, but I wanted to know, out of all of these people that are registering as having Morgellons and are having these weird things removed out of them, are any of them hearing voices? Are any of them suffering from stalking or voicing stalking complaints? And is this all actually one thing that we're looking at?
That is bizarre. What do you think?
Well, you know, when I came across that evidence that in talking to Dr. Spencer, and he said, yep, it's the same three states that are getting hit the hardest. And I said, well, you know, I mean, Texas, Florida, and California represent probably a good 65 or 70% of the victims of this. It kind of makes you wonder, are they two different sub-projects of the same operation?
Covert microchipping. How does this play a role?
The first thing most victims think is they got to have a chip in them. You know, I must have a chip if I'm being tracked everywhere I go. Have seen some evidence of it. You know, seen some MRIs and some X-rays. There have been some chips found in people. Overwhelmingly, we have not found them. And that goes back to kind of the way the technology was explained to me by a friend who's a former DARPA scientist and by several friends in intelligence. You no longer need a chip. Most of the people that have found chips in them have been victimized for a decade or more. I think it's probably a remnant of an older form of technology. However, there is some current research being done on chips. There's a University of Albany. There was a female researcher working on a brain implant chip that would allow to communicate with voices into the head. You see reports anecdotally of people working on nanotechnology type chips. I haven't seen anything that's been so convincing that it really looks like hard science, and you won't, because it's most of that's classified. But as far as identifiable chips and people that are having this happen to them, we're just not finding them. And I think the reason is that most of this is being done with brain mapping or EEG recognition instead of needing a chip to track you.
You have said that you don't mind if government has surveillance equipment, high technology, satellites, because you believe that's important for defense. But you question the possibility of this being manipulated, controlled, even stolen.
Exactly. I met with Representative Jim Guest in Missouri a couple of months ago in person. He's one of the only legislators that has really kind of crossed the line and stepped out in support of trying to find an answer to this. Met with him in person. We went over the data. We went over the history of government experimentation. We went over some of the research being done on this. I was on his Sunday morning radio show with him four Sundays in a row with Dr. Terry Robertson. He is the one legislator so far that said, and on his radio show, and I'm quoting him, he said, "There comes a time when you can't worry about political suicide. You have to put a line in the sand and do what's right." He said, "This is not science fiction. It's science fact. It's going on." Several of the people we have found chips in have been in Missouri, his home state. He's one of the people who's really kind of stepped out there at the forefront, asking for a congressional hearing with us. That's kind of where we're going with that, going that direction. We're hoping that we can get more political people involved.
And how about more medical practitioners, or are you out there by yourself?
Well, to go back to your original question, what he asked me, where that quote came from, is he asked me, he goes, "Well, do you think there's an appropriate use for this technology?" And I said, if it's used in the context, as it was explained to me by a CIA agent, that it's a weapon of war for use abroad, to expect the total abandonment of this technology is really a pipe dream. And I know a lot of victims or a lot of the activists are saying, we want this technology to go away completely. Well, they've already spent too much money. The satellites are already launched. The technology's already there. It's not going to go away. But there should be safeguards against its use, and there should be safeguards against its use in experimentation. If it's to be used on a terrorist in a foreign land, so be it. That's actually what the context is for. It shouldn't be used to sexually assault a mortgage broker in San Antonio, or a housewife in California.
That's not government. There's something else wrong here, John. There's something strange going on if that's happening.
Well, the other thing we've humored is this, Russian or Chinese technology that's been sold on the black market. And if that's the case, then why isn't our government listening to the complaints?
Well, that's a good point. But, I mean, do they listen to people who say that they've been abducted by, ETs, for example? Maybe they're part of that, too.
Well, and Michael Persinger, who I know he's been mentioned on your show before. I don't know if you've ever had him on, but he did the Navy's microwave research. He's now at Laurentian University in Canada, and he has simulated alien abduction by bombarding the temporal lobes of the brain with microwave energy. So, when you see some of the people that are voicing abduction complaints, maybe they're actually being experimented on, too. It's a big universe. It would be, there's got to be something out there. But he's displayed that in the lab, that he can bombard the temporal lobes of the brain with microwave at a certain frequency and make people believe they're being abducted.
Are you making a name for yourself in this field, in that people will recommend you to help these other people, or do they just stumble into you?
Mostly stumble into me. I mean, when people get victimized by this, the first couple of years, they're looking for answers, and they don't know what it is usually. So you eventually end up on the internet looking around to try to figure out what it is, and then you come across other victims, and the handful of us that are actually, you know, writing and trying to get some answers. And like I said, you know, I am a medical physician, and I've got to recognize that there is mental illness out there. But also as a physician, I mean, we owe it to humanity, you know, to look for all the answers and not just, you know, have somebody come to you that's voicing these complaints and automatically call them delusional, put them on psych meds. The diagnosis alone ruins your life, usually, especially if you're in a licensed type of job. If you're an engineer, if you're a doctor, if you're a lawyer, if you're someone who has to have a state license of some type, it's life ruining to have that diagnosis. And especially if it's, you know, it's someone that really is being attacked or really being victimized, and they know that's what it is, and there's nothing they can do about it. It's almost like Hitchcockian. It's almost like being the only sane person locked in an insane asylum. So we're really trying to get more doctors on board to recognize that, if anything else, that this needs more research, that there's too many people voicing exactly the same complaints for this to be delusional disorder.
Do you see this happening more and more? This situation is more widespread, or is it slowing down?
More victims are coming forward every day. It's just incredible.
Is that because they feel comfortable to come forward now, or because it's truly happening to them?
Probably because it's truly happening, and they're more comfortable. 10 years ago, there was nothing, you know, very little on the internet about this. I mean, and that's most people's research source now is the internet.
10 years ago, they were considered nuts, John.
Yeah.
I mean, just put it in a blunt. What people thought.
The tinfoil hats. Yeah.
Not anymore. What do people do if they want some more information on this?
My website is satweapons.com. There's a link there to Freedom from Covert Surveillance and Harassment. If anybody's experienced anything that they remotely think might be this, we're going to be starting an extensive survey along with some testing. Would encourage people to get on that website, especially Freedom from Covert Surveillance and Harassment. There's a great list of, again, I'm calling this symptoms for lack of a better word, but ongoings that might be going on, the electrical disturbances, different types of physical manifestations that you might be seeing if you're being victimized by this. And there's a lot of good research on the website through Freedom from Covert Surveillance and Harassment. So it's very important to get into a group, because eventually we're going to need strong numbers and some good strong evidence that there is something going on to try to put in front of Congress and get some disclosure.
Have you had cases? I know you're talking about how people are sometimes outside of houses, but are they in unmarked vans? How do they show up?
One particular individual, and I'll use his name because he's in the public domain and I know him, James Walbert, had an article in Wired.com. He's one of the people in Missouri who actually found a chip in his right trapezius muscle. He's an inventor and had another group of people trying to steal his intellectual property. Now, his case is one case that is a little bit different. Almost every time he's victimized, he's being followed around by people with ham radio systems on him. And there has been some research into a certain form of chip that does respond to ham radio frequency. You would have to be in the area and within a range to activate it, but that can cause some burning and twitching and body changes.
Let's take some phone calls with you, Dr. John Hall, when we come right back. And perhaps you might want to share your story with us if this has happened to you. I'm George Norrie, back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM.